Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of MusicCast, the music podcast where we don't really talk about music, but why these songs are so amazing and everybody should hear them. As always, I'm Peter. Remember to follow us in our social media. You know, the promotion time, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, subscribe, ring the bell and all that. We have the Spotify playlist, MusicCast playlist, where you can listen to the song that we're going to mention on this episode, plus all the other songs from prior episodes. Also, Music Mornings, which is a playlist that I'm updating every day when I'm on my way to work. It's crazy. You got all genres and all that. Para los que nos escuchan en español, recuerden que MusicCast está para los jueves a las 7:30 también. Tenemos invitados, artistas de todo estilo. So, sí. And yeah, that's pretty much the introduction. And it's getting longer by the episode. I'm sorry, guys. But for this week, I have Kat Hill. Hi, Kat. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry for that long introduction. I'm telling you. I have to make it shorter. I don't know how, but I will.
It's important information, you know?
Yeah. So for anybody or everybody who's out there, Kat Hill is an artist based in Nashville, Tennessee, the capital of music. Oh my God, you're in the place where everything is happening.
And everything and nothing at the same time.
That's so wonderful, right? Whether you want it to happen or not, you got to be in Nashville.
Yeah, it's true.
Perfect. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I am an independent artist, which means for anyone that doesn't know what independent artists are, I'm not signed anywhere. So I fully 100% financially and in responsibility ways do everything for myself, which is very beautiful because it allows you to, you know, say what you want to say and write the music that you want to write and be who you want to be without a label telling you what to do. So that's awesome. I live in Nashville and I moved here about 2 years ago, right before the pandemic, specifically to play shows and meet other musicians. And then the world shut down. So now that this year has kind of opened-ish back up, I've been getting back into playing shows and I'm recording my first record, which will be hopefully finished recording this summer so we can release in fall.
Nice.
It's been really fun and I've been really grateful for the time at home to focus on that, but I am ready for it to be done and share it and move on to the next thing.
Of course, yeah. Of course. Which leads me to the first question. How does Kat Hill came to be? How do you find yourself that passion into music or, I don't know, that family member, concert, band that may...
Well, I started singing when I was six in kindergarten, okay. The national anthem at the school talent show. And pretty much ever since then, I have been performing. Jax, go away. My dog. We love Jax, you're literally moving the camera. Come on, Bubba. Go. Bye. Adios. Get out of here. Anyways. Performing my whole life. When I was 15, I started working for a performance company that would do covers of music from the 1940s until today. Okay. So we'd sing, dance, and it was a really awesome time. I, you know, met friends that were like family to me. But at one point, I just, you know, and I had been writing music since I was a little kid. It was really my way of journaling almost. Like, okay. I'd write poetry or I'd just scribble really nasty things about my mom or something in my diary.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, let go of my stuff. But I never really focused on songwriting because I worked for this company and we would, you know, perform Elton John and we would perform Blondie and, you know, all these Beach Boys and all these awesome artists. And I never really put focus into myself as a songwriter. And so, a couple years ago, I was getting out of this relationship with someone that I really loved and they really sucked. And I realized that I was holding myself back for a long time. And so I decided within 2 weeks that I was going to find a house and find a job in Nashville. And if I did, I would move. And I did in like 3 days. So then 11 days later, packed up everything I had gave everything else away or dumped it in the dumpster and donated stuff and moved here. And so Cat Hill came from, you know, it's my biological name is Hillary Kathleen. And I had a crazy ex who took down my website and like hacked all my stuff. So I changed my artist name to be my middle name and my first name. So that would never happen again.
Right.
Still part of me, you know, I think that, you know, some people go by a different artist name, their biological name, and I've never been a huge fan of my first name. Sorry, Mom. But, you know, it's still a part of me, but it almost protects myself and the people that I write my music about. You know, some people don't need to go and like research my life and who did that to her. That, you know, like whatever. It's just it's a way for me to kind of show what's on the inside,
right?
While still being myself. So yeah, that's kind of where it came from. And I've always loved being on stage and singing in front of people, but it's more meaningful when it's your own songs. And I've been grateful for every opportunity, especially since COVID, to perform.
Right. It was like a bumpy start that you had in Nashville, but
yeah. It's all worth it. Now it's the journey, all worth it at the end of the day.
And now that you're mentioning that you feel way better performing your songs, takes me to Candyman, the song that you already have on Spotify, which, by the way, I really liked it. Actually, as soon as I heard it, I knew the song that I was going to show you, which I'll talk later today. But tell me a little bit about your single. Why did you choose this? Did you already have this one, or it was a debate? Like, oh, I have the three different singles and this one.
Yeah. So Candyman originally, the reason I put out Candyman first in just the sense was that it really spoke a lot to me. Okay. And it spoke a lot to me about stuff that it does matter, but it's not part of my life anymore. Okay. And I wrote that song one night during quarantine, and I was just feeling really lonely. And so I just like sat down and was thinking about like sad stuff, and that just kind of came out of me. I also had a bottle of wine to myself, so
that helps.
it helps, man, you know. Advocate of drinking all the time, but it does help the songwriting process. So it's good measures, but you know, it came out of me, and it almost felt like a healing. It was a healing song for me, and the song is dark content. You know, it is. It's about something that sucked, and I was kind of in between releasing that and the two other ones, which are both going to be on this upcoming record. Candyman will not be on the record; it's just going to be the single. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of in between, and for me, I really felt like if I'm going to write the songs that I write, and if I'm going to talk about, you know, struggles with life and being an adult and mental illness and sucky childhoods, and I'm going to write about that stuff, I really need to be honest with who I am and what I've been through. And so, you know, the other songs that I was thinking, they really just weren't that. And I never want to be something I'm not. And so for me, I was like, I'll just put the darkest, weirdest song out first. And anyone that's like still interested a little bit will like stick around. And then if they're not, they're not. And I don't, you know, and that's okay, because we all have different tastes. And but it meant a lot to me. And for once it came out, I really couldn't listen to it for a while. It would just really make me like sad. Right. And I couldn't play it for a while. Especially when you record music, you just listen and listen over and over.
Yeah.
And I've moved past that now. I love the song. It's very special. When it comes on my phone, I'm like, next, now. Listen to my own voice. But, you know, song, and truly the people that have reached out to me and have said, I've gone through a similar thing, or thank you for sharing that. That's why I do it. And that's why I put it out, you know.
No, nice. I really like it. I can feel the darkness in the song. But for me, it was like a good darkness.
It is.
It can make you think about your life and what you're going through, if you go through something similar, or if not, at least you can know through the sound that some people does. So
yeah,
I enjoy it. I have played it a couple of times, and it's going to be on my playlist. That's for sure. Which now I have to brag a little about why. What happened when I heard Candyman the first time? Normally, I have a little bit of struggle with everybody who's coming to the show because I want to show them a song, you know, that they kind of enjoy, or I ask you your favorite artist, which I'm going to go there because I wanted to, okay, what do I choose? What do I choose? And as soon as I heard Candyman, I decided that I was going to put you Another Way to Die by Jack White and Alicia Keys, which is actually the song from the James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace.
I love that you said that because it has very much like James Bond vibes, which I'm going for. I actually was singing, when I wrote the song, I was singing Feeling Good, Nina Simone, the same similar chord progression. It ended up being very James Bondy, and I love that.
Yes, and by the way, everybody who doesn't know this is from the 2008, as I told you, Quantum of Solace. Fun fact, is the first James Bond duet that ever came to be in a theme, Another Way to Die. And I know there's some criticism that is not really like James Bond-ish or whatever. I think that's crap. It's a really good song. And it's actually, they recorded on Nashville. So, hey.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was written by Jack White. Jack Black. Imagine Jack Black reading a James Bond. Yeah, Jack White wrote it, and he thought of Alicia Keys of the whole thing, and they recorded in Nashville. So it gave me that vibe, that James Bond feeling, dark within life, and it has some kind of a message. I don't know. It was a really cool song, and it came to me in a second. So maybe, who knows, in the future, Cat Hill, James Bond theme movie.
That would be it's up there.
it's gonna be there. I know.
I love James Bond. I as a kid, my dad always used to watch him. And
all right, so that, now that you mentioned that, now okay, two James fan movie guys. All right, what's your favorite James Bond movie?
I like the OGs.
Three.
I like the original.
Okay, give me three. Your three that you could say I could watch it again and I have no problem. That you could watch tonight.
Honestly, Goldfinger.
Yes.
Probably. Like, absolutely. Just, what was that, 1960 something? Yeah.
Goldfinger.
I don't really like any of the new ones, honestly.
Really?
I mean, I love them, but it's like the classic, like.
Yeah, there's a little bit of change. Yeah, it changed.
That one, I don't know, just like the 60s, like the way they were shot, it's, you know, kind of degrading to the women in the movies, which we've now like kind of moved past that, you know, in the newer senses. But I just really, like the first one, best in my opinion. It's just the best one. It was the first one. I don't know. I'm trying to think of which one came after in the 70s or 80s. Diamonds Are Forever or something like that.
Diamonds Are Forever, Under Your Majesty, Your Secret Majesty. Oh, I forget now the name. Oh my God. I know it in Spanish. I know. I'm sorry.
Well, I would say Goldfinger is my favorite. One. But I really just love the original, you know. Once they started getting new, it's how I feel about superhero movies. Once the person dies, you don't keep making them. Just let them live their glory. Let them live. Unless they suck, then yes, please redo it. But
yeah, I do have my, I mean, I like the new ones, but it's because I have watched all of them. Like,
oh, really?
All of them until a point, like, whether it's good or bad, I have to like it because I'm already this down within the fandom, right?
Honestly, I don't think I've seen the newest three. I think I have seen Skyfall.
Okay.
I think I saw it, but I think I fell asleep, so I don't really remember the end of it, but I don't think I've seen the newest ones after that.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a new one coming, and I'm waiting crazy for it.
Oh.
But, it's just...
Now that we're on the James Bond kick, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, changing a little bit, I went in my fanboy moment. Yeah. What can you tell me about your inspirations? The three bands or three artists that define Cat Hill?
Yeah. What I say? Lake Street Dive, Queen, and someone else?
Yeah. But that's what I like to answer again, because sometimes people tell me something in the email and then they change it in the episode. You know,
I mean, for me, really, my biggest influences in general, regardless of who it is, mm-hmm. I love a song that says something and that makes me feel something. And that is something that I, hands down, whether it's happy, sad, angry, mad, jealous, whatever the feeling is, mm-hmm. I want my songs to feel that. And I think definitely Queen, for starters. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to Queen. My mom loved Queen. I love the story of this nobody that people thought was like, oh, he's talented, but he's not, he's never going to make it. His teeth aren't straight. Like, you know, people were to bully him, especially being someone of a hidden LGBTQ community. You know, that just must have been a challenge in general. But the way he gets up on stage and just screams
like
these
nobody
things,
else.
I want, like, that for me is, you know, that makes me feel, you know, I want to do that. I want people to go home after they see me and be like, wow, that was so entertaining. And that made me, like, I could see that they love doing what they do. You know, it's like, I didn't choose this life to be a musician, to spend all of my extra money on putting out music and work all these jobs to be able to tour and play shows. And I didn't do that. Wanted security and benefits, you know.
Yeah.
Well, to be a doctor or something, but you know, it's like, that's why I do it, because I enjoy being on stage. So that's one thing, I think. Same with Lake Street Dive. That was a band that I bye Jax, go. That was my favorite band. That's modern, or at least, you know, not that Queen's modern. Queen's still doing the thing. But Lake Street Dive, they're from Boston. And I went to school in Boston. So it was extra special when I found out they all met and recorded a live music video of the Jackson 5, I Want You Back.
Oh, okay.
And it, like, very jazzy, slowed down on a street near where I used to live. So I actually So it was just crazy. And I think that band, for sure, I've seen them live a couple times now, right. And they just have fun on stage, you know, and write about love and write about heartbreak and write about eating Chinese food in the basement, you know, and it's just real. So I love that. And they're fabulous and they're local, you know. I school where they went to school, and it just feels good to know that
special connection that you have with the band.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's possible, you know. It's hard having this mentality that, you know, real people can, well, all musicians are real people and celebrities are real people, but other people have this obsessiveness with musicians and, I don't know, actors, and there are these...
Yeah, we tend to put them in a pedestal, something unreachable.
They're just eating Chinese food, man. I, you know, I watch their Instagram stories. They're all just... 30s in their 30s living life. But I definitely think, as far as the songwriting goes, I don't even know if I had put I don't remember what was my third person. Did I even tell you? Whatever. Doesn't matter. Oh, Suzanne Santo. She's great. I just love her sound. She, you know, plays electric guitar. She's kind of bluesy, kind of jazz, kind of rock. And the reason I really like her is because I think, I was listening to the one of the podcasts, I think it was the one you sent me in the link to listen mm-hmm. to prior. It was a lot about how rock's coming back, and I've always loved rock and roll, which is funny because I studied classical music first before I transferred to Berkeley. I was an opera singer and I hated it. Opera, I love listening. I think it's beautiful. I have some friends that are really successful opera singers, but it wasn't for me. And I just like a little bit of an edge and a little bit of, I don't know, anger or feelings, you know?
Right.
So Suzanne's great because she is kind of rock and roll. And I love seeing a female rock and roll artist do their thing. Right. You know, it doesn't have to be the Eagles or Metallica or AC/DC, you know, it like women can rock too.
Oh yeah, they can.
You know, can. And Janis Joplin, I love her. And, you know, I think I said Blondie before, I love her. I just love some hardcore women. And that's an influence in my music too. Is, you know, I have a balance of a kind of softy Norah Jones vibe with my voice, but I like it to have a little punch once in a while. So
yeah. What makes me ask you, if you have to choose of these three, which one you can share the stage? It's not like you're going to do an opening. You two are on the same, you're performing at the same time, but you can only choose one.
Out of those that I just said?
Yeah.
Oh, Janis Joplin. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell good yeah. Choice. Good choice.
Oh, definitely.
Would you choose a place? I'll tell you what. Tell me a place. And stadium, would you say? Where would you sing with Janis Joplin?
I don't know. I'm really nostalgic to Nashville right now, especially the tornado last year. And just, I love this community. The Ryman. I don't think Janis Joplin would maybe play at the Ryman because it's not really like a rock hall, you know, but it is one of the most beautiful places. And I've always wanted to play there. It's on my list. But I would love to play with Janis Joplin anywhere, but probably the Ryman here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you would rock it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a big stadium. It's Janis Joplin. Whatever you put it, she's going to rock it.
Of playing in a stadium ever. I just think it loses. I mean, maybe I'm not gonna say no to
if there are 100,000 people feel like
filled, yeah, but I don't know. I like my music is intimate. Besides that it's rock and roll. It is, and I like to see the back of the, you know, I like to see, I don't need to see your faces, but I want to like connect with people. And I feel like sometimes, at least for me, when I've been to stadium concerts, the few that I've been to in my life, I feel like I get a little bit of a disconnect from the artist. And it almost seems like a show versus I'm paying to watch this person tell me their story.
Right. Well, so, actually, the second person who tells me that you prefer like a smaller venues where you connect more with the audience.
I just think it's more special. It's why I do it, you know? I don't do it to dress up in sequins and have blowing my hair back, you know.
Yeah, unless there are 100,000 people and there are, then you could think about it.
I'll change my mind. I will not complain.
All right, how about we take a break, we listen to Another Way to Die, and we come back.
Cool.
All right, everybody who's out there watching us, listening, I don't know how you're consuming this, but please go ahead, find a good pair of headphones and listen to Another Way to Die by Jack White and Alicia Keys. And we'll be right back. And we're back. How was it?
It's so good. I haven't listened to that song seriously since like 2011, 2010, maybe.
It's been a while.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it's great.
And I, if we go back to my Janis Bond moment, I can understand why people may think it's not like, if you compare it with Goldfinger or something like that, but it goes with the movie. At least it goes. And I definitely, it's a Janis Bond movie. Whatever who's saying something opposite, oh, come on. Grow up.
A little more like heavy than typical James Bond, which fits in kind of in this film. But yeah, it's great. It's dirty. I love like it's.
Yeah, it's it's rubbing. Heavy. It's dark. It's there.
Yeah.
Enough about my craziness. Tell me, Kat, what do you have for me? What have you brought to MusicCast?
My song that I brought. So this song is Hozier is the artist.
Okay.
And I really, really just love this artist in general. I think like the most famous one was Take Me to Church that put out. And so my song that I brought to you, which I think, you know, I'd love to know your opinions on it, as well as what it means to me. It's called Cherry Wine.
Okay.
And it really just reminds me of like sitting in a meadow with like your thoughts, not even a meadow, like a forest.
Okay.
A little bit like more, but you know, it's a little bit softer. It's not this Alicia Keys song. This Jack. but it's beautiful. We can take a listen, but it's, I think this artist is very special. He's really into, you know, political movements. I shouldn't say he's really into, none of us are in political movements, but he's really involved in political movement and being an activist for, people that don't necessarily have a voice. And the song, is very special. And, yeah, so I'll play it now after this Botabox wine ad.
Okay, so you chose Cherry Wine.
Yes.
Hozier. And you imagine yourself in the forest listening to this song, or you're leaving the song at this point? What's the connection that made you? Are you in the forest, or are you the song and the song is happening in the forest?
I think the song to me, I mean, obviously I've not asked what the song was written about, haven't had that opportunity, but it talks a lot about like the stains and like the dirt of life and like things that, you know, things that happen and things that happen to us and kind of just like sitting in our presence and feeling that. And I think I'm both. Okay. I think, especially with, you know, my music that's coming out, it's very personal and it's been very emotional recording. Especially some of the songs have been really hard for me to sing in the studio and like stand and sing in front of a microphone. And this song, I think, kind of speaks to that, like that dirt on you. But I also think I've gotten to a point where I'm outside the forest and I can kind of take a look back at the times that I've sat there and kind of lingered in my own. So that's why I chose it. I feel like it's a really good balance of stuff that you've dealt with and stuff that's still going to hit you later on in life, you know?
Okay. And you mentioned something that I forgot to ask you about, that you're finishing your first record. And I know you did it through GoFundMe, which was amazing. Tell me, how was this experience? Because I mean, I believe it's amazing the power of the internet that you were able to,
oh my God,
as an independent artist, I know there's struggles and all that, and now it's happening. So wow.
Yeah. So I didn't do a GoFundMe, but it is similar to, it's a fundraising platform, but I the company, a nonprofit called I Fund Women, which is a platform for female entrepreneurs to have access to campaign grants, fundraising, things like that. So I was very nervous. I have always wanted to, you know, put out an album. It's an EP, so it's a 5-song EP. We're recording a 6th song that will come out in spring after, which won't be part of it, but just in the same sessions we're recording, we're doing 6 songs, but you know, 6 songs is a lot. I would love to record a full length album, but it is thousands of dollars, which I didn't realize how much it was to make something that I hear in my head happen for real, you know? And I'm not a drummer at all. I can play the tambourine and I can play like 2 beats on the drums, but not
the whole thing. Right.
Will be mad when they hear the guy that played the drums on my record, because his name is Tom Myers and he's phenomenal and I love Tom so much and I'm so grateful. But so I was really afraid to do a campaign because I just hate asking people for money. And honestly, I saw a couple other artists that I really look up to, or people that I've met since living in Nashville that are, you know, acquaintances and friends, do these campaigns and like fundraise to make their projects. And it, I don't know what happened. It just clicked with me one day that I don't know why I was so afraid of just asking for help. Because it is, you know, and also I've been on my own really since I was 17. I moved mm-hmm. out pretty young, and I'm still close with my mom. And I mean, we talk and stuff. It's not like I'm estranged from my family, but I've always been financially on my own. And I think I've just never been able to save 10 grand to make a project, you know. Right. It's just not something that you have in your back pocket if you don't have those opportunities financially. So it was very stressful. It was a 4-week program, and I raised like a little under 9 grand. I'm still shocked that it's happening. It doesn't really feel like it's all happening quite yet, because we're still in the recording process. But I'm just really grateful for the money, and more so to invest the money into sharing my music, because I do think, I think there's a lot of really talented people out there, and I am really grateful to share my talents, whatever level they're on. I'm grateful to share that and share what I've been through. And I've heard artists that have changed my heart when I've heard a song. You know, Billie Eilish released, I love her. She's 19 years old. I think she's one of the most talented people ever. As far as songwriting and just being her and the vibe, and she, her last album I listened to, and I couldn't stop for days. And that's what I want. You know, yeah. I want people to cry, and I want people to feel that. You know,
she's in that James Bond theme.
Oh, song. I know. Oh yeah, she's got so many years ahead.
She's everywhere.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good
for her. Yeah. So no, I'm really happy. I heard the story. I read about it. I saw the campaign, and it made me so happy that these artists have these opportunities, because as you mentioned, you don't have for now, like a record label behind you to support, whether for good or bad, you know, because I know they have the rules and all that. But it's cool. It's so great that you have this way to actually throw your talent out there, and I'm really expecting. I'm hoping that everything's going smoothly, because I want to hear those songs really soon.
Yes, one's coming soon. So
perfect.
I think it's a good thing. You know, I really think. I mean, obviously, I would love to have a label or a record contract. Those are all really great things, but I think that there has to be, what I've learned in my life as being an artist or being a performer or being self-employed in general, whatever your business is, you have to put in the work, and you have to invest the money, and you have to invest your time. And I think that there's a really good way of representing yourself by providing an EP or a thing, a material thing where people can hear you,
right,
see what you are, hear what you are, and then they can listen or leave it, you know? And I think that by me doing this and working with some other really awesome independent producers and musicians that have played on this, you know, people that are very important to me and near and dear to my heart, putting out this product will hopefully lead to me to other doors, you know? And if not, that's okay, because that's not why I do it. But I think that there's money and there's sweat and there's blood and there's tears that go into moving forward. And my next step, you know?
If you're putting the work, the opportunities are going to come. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. for sure. No record label is going to knock at your door if you're not doing all this by yourself. And I know something good is going to come up. That's for sure. How about if we take a little break again and we listen to Cherry Wine?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody who's out there, grab a good pair of headphones. Please grab a good pair of headphones. You have to enjoy the music the way it is. And listen to Cherry Wine by Hozier. And we'll be right back. And we're back. Oh my God. Such a powerful song.
It really is. It's so sweet, but so real.
Yeah. And I mean, it's simple, but so deep at the same time. And if you put it with the video, oh my God, Ho's here all the time doing this.
I think that that's it. I remember when this song came out, is people didn't really know exactly what he was talking about, you know, and it seems like such a really sweet love song, but it's about like the hard stuff in love and still loving someone that is so terrible to you and like, or not even someone necessarily. I mean, the video is definitely and things like that, but the song is really about, you know, like living with the dirt that's on your life and like finding the sweetness in it and finding, you know, finding the happiness and that, you know, and it's, I love it.
It's an amazing song. I like it. Because it's pretty much what you're telling. It doesn't have to be like a grandiose song in order to be a powerful, in order to be meaningful or a great. If you have a message, if you have something to say, there's your song.
Yeah.
With a couple of guitar, maybe a keyboard, you know, you don't need like Queen, you know, like the whole acoustic orchestra thing going, the bomb.
You don't, though. I mean, it's fun. I love it, you know. I think, you know, recording the record that I am doing, you know, we have overdub stuff and we had synths, you know, some synth stuff and like three guitar parts. But it's weird playing it by myself, you know. It's like I took my electric guitar and it's hopefully still as powerful, but you can't hide a good song behind that, you know.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think I haven't heard it before. It sounds familiar, but
No, it's I think it's one of his most popular songs. Have you heard Take Me to Church? Have you heard that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Actually, one of the guests brought that here.
Oh, really?
Yes. I've heard a couple of Who's Here. It's not like into my algorithm, because remember how YouTube and Spotify can be that... I'm into heavy metal. So if you see, I have where is it? Korn right here.
Yeah. Oh, love Korn.
Yes. So that can mess up the algorithm.
A little bit, not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. But
that's why you do this, to hear new, you know.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe in someday we'll have Ho's here, and I'll bring you up so we can ask him about this.
Yeah, you ask. Song. You ask him.
Don't worry. You'll be here too. Don't worry. I'm going to need help if I'm going to interview Ho's here.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll go through it together. as we're going with... I don't know what else to say. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that one. Oh my God.
It's okay. The song says itself. And obviously people on the podcast cannot see the video, but... You should watch the video. I think the first time I heard the song was when I bought the record.
Okay.
So I had never seen the music video. I just was a fan and wanted the CD, you know, play in my car. The cars that still have CD drives, you know. And I never saw the video. And I honestly hadn't seen it probably. I think I've seen it once before I chose the song and, you know, kind of looked it up again. But I didn't know that that was what it was about at all when I heard it, you know, and it's very powerful. If you have 4 minutes of your day, go on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Please go. And as I were going throughout the final part of the episode, this is the time that I shut myself. I mute my mic. Oh, my God. I touched it. I'm sorry. I stopped being that craziness. And tell me. And tell us, everybody here in MusicCast, how can we find you? What's the project? When are we going to have that EP? How can we follow you forever?
Yeah, well, social media, everyone. I am there and I share a lot about my music and my dog and my art. I'm a painter too. So I love to do all of the music and the painting and the dog things. But my social media is Kat Hill, K-A-T-H-I-L Music. Instagram, TikTok, which I hate, but I'm trying, really trying. I it's great. I like to scroll. I don't like to post, but I'm posting more content on TikTok as well. Yeah. So Kat Hill, K-A-T-H-I-L Music. My first single from the EP will be coming in September. And that is all I can say right now. I cannot give the date of the month, but it is coming in September and I will release the date soon. And the rest of the EP will follow. I'm going to release a couple songs as singles before then. Yeah, this fall. And I'm very excited. And it's called What's Her Name? One word. What's her name? Yeah, Kat Hill. And if you want to follow me, please do follow me on any social media platform. I really think this is one of the most exciting times in my life, and I'm really excited to share with new people and with people I know. And music is just has been so important to me, and I'm just very excited to like give that back in whatever way people take it, you know. So yeah, that's it.
thank you. Make sure to follow her. Go ahead, comment everywhere. We want those singles. We want the EP. I'll put it in the description here in YouTube and all platforms that you have. So yeah, let's just talk Kat Hill in some point so she can release more and more and get that record label or
yeah,
or still be an independent, but an amazing artist.
I will always be independent in here, but I do like, yeah, you know, and that's another, I mean, I could go on about this forever, but being an artist, like you have to have a team of people.
Oh yeah.
And if I can just speak for the people that are on my team right now, my producer, Jake Olbom, is a rock star, and I love him so much, and he's been such a good support, not only just listening to me try to explain what I hear in my head musically and doing it Pro Tools, it's crazy. Tom, I mentioned, my drummer, a couple songs have been written with my friend Mikey and my friend Seth and my friend Ian, and they wrote two songs with me on the project, all those boys. And so it's been really special, and I have, you know, two people mixing and mastering. So not only have I raised money to put out my project, I'm employing other people that are also independent workers. So, you know, regardless if I ever, you know, have the finances and the help from a bigger team, I always want to give back to the people that have been good to me. And that's my listeners usually. So
nice. Thank you. Nice. Now we'll make sure to follow that process and that journey along with you. Thank you so much for being here, Kat Hill.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you for being here as well, for listening to this crazy conversation. I hope you enjoyed. And if not, well, enjoy too. Come on. It was fun. I don't know. Sometimes I do this with the listeners. I don't know what I tell them that stuff. I'm sorry. I'm always aggressive at the end of the episode.
Aggressive. I don't know how it is talking to people where you can't see, you know, it's like for people later. I'm weird on the Instagram live videos. Like segue. I'm going to drink this wine now.
and I get aggressive. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys.
It's good. You gotta be.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll see you next week. I'll hear you next week. And goodbye.